Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you everyone again today. Surely welcome back. And God has given us one more day to be here to worship together and also online. God has been good to us and He's going to be good to us today and tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
He's been faithful to us always. The announcements are in the second page. I wanted to quickly go over some of them. The food bank continues. Some of you already started placing the food in the bin there. As we are getting towards the end of the year, we need to collect all of that food and then donate to the community, people of need in community. And the books are available for sale also. The third Thursday luncheon is August 20th. Last week we didn't correct the date, so some people showed up. In fact, Pastor Tim made the bulletin last Sunday, so I forgot to mention it to him about that. So it's August 20th, next month. Today is the last Sunday that we celebrate our birthdays, anniversaries, and any other blessings of the month, and we'll have lunch after service. Please stay by. All are welcome. Next Sunday, we'll have Holy Communion, the first Sunday of the month, so all are welcome to the Lord's table. August is going to be a couple of changes that we have to make. I have a surgery of my ear, I told you, so I have to take about 2 weeks off, maybe three. Pastor Tim Lou will be covering for those Sundays. But I'll be here if I feel better after the surgery, but I won't be able to preach or do heavy noise and sing or anything like that for a couple of years. And please pray for me for the successful surgery that I can hear better through this ear. I'm fine now, and I have to say this, but... And Gary will be here in September. We'll go through that as it gets closer. Those are the announcements that I have. I mentioned to you that I made a budget for the last couple of Sundays. It was available. And take one if you haven't taken one. And if you go through it, you will see that we are fine doing, in operation-wise, we have the budget to pay our bills and continue our... But when it comes to anything like maintenance and projects like air conditioning replacement, things like that, we have to probably get together and like we did last time. And thankfully they had a broken air conditioner, so they fixed it. That's a blessing. They didn't even, I called them if they needed any help. They said one of their guys is an AC guy, so he was able to fix that. That's a blessing. They have two units there. And we ordered the gate. Somebody already donated $500 for that. And it costs about $2,000, but it takes about $800 to get it installed. So please keep that in our mind. If we can donate a little bit more, we can get it done this week. The boxes are here, and we will work on that. It's going to be a up and down arm. It will be nice and beautiful. So people who pass by will see it and put their recommendations on YouTube saying what it is. And especially the apartment complex coming in front of us, I think it is better to be a good presentation for us. And also people who are like Wayne and don't have to get out of the car, they can do a remote control and press it and the gate will open. Now they have to get out and pull the chain and all that stuff. So thanks be to God that we are able to work on that, and please consider that when you put in your offerings, that we can easily raise that $800. I don't think it will be a problem. Other than that, thank you for your continued and faithful support to the ministries of the church. Anybody have any special announcements or anything? If not, thank you for your donations, and we take our donations on our website. Please use that facilities that is available. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue worshiping God together. I will bring up the opening hymn. The opening hymn is 155. If you're able to stand, it's on the screen, and you can follow that if the music in the book, 155 in the blue book. We'll sing 1, 2, and 6.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring
Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for the gift of life and the many blessings that you give us, especially the health and strength you give us in our bodies to be here today, Lord. We thank you for the gift of a new day in our life that you have given in this world to be a blessing here, O God. Thank you for your presence in our midst here today as we come before you as your children to worship together, Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand that you are the creator, the sustainer and our redeemer. And you are the one who redeems us from our sins and also from our troubles and problems in this world. Through Jesus Christ you have redeemed from our sins and gave us eternity to be there with you, O God. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you give us, that we can trust in his presence in our lives, that we'll be empowered by the power of the Spirit, that we will live a life worthy of your calling. We thank you for your presence in our midst today, O God. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. With all the people who worship around the world and the angels in heaven, we adore you. We magnify your name. Bless each and every one of us here today with your presence, O God, and touch us with your grace. We thank you for your grace and your presence in our midst. And help us, Lord, to be faithful in the ministry that we do here. We thank you again for blessing us with this church that we can worship together. May your name be lifted up and people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our fellowship time now. Please stand up and greet each other. Put on the screen also.
I come to the garden alone, where you still hunger. Pentacle of Wisdom. Do you have that one?
So you remain standing, we'll read the responsive reading, which is the Canticle of Wisdom. Canticles are another version of a psalm, but they are not really psalms from other parts of the scripture.
Is there something that I need to know? Maybe I need all that. Okay. May God grant that I speak with judgment and have thoughts worthy of what I have received, for God is the God, even of wisdom and the corrector of the wise. Wisdom is more mobile than any motion. Because of her purity, wisdom pervades and penetrates all things.
For she is a breath of the power of God, and a pure emanation of the glory of the Almighty. Therefore, nothing defies gains against wisdom.
For she is a reflection of eternal light, a spotless mirror of the working of God, an image of God's goodness.
Though wisdom is but one, she can do all things. By remaining in herself, wisdom renews all things.
In every generation, wisdom passes into holy souls and makes them friends of God and prophets.
Truly, God loves nothing so much as those who live with wisdom.
For she is more beautiful than the sun and excels every constellation of the stars. Compared with the light, she is found to be superior.
For light is succeeded by the night, but against wisdom, evil does not prevail.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. It's our prayer time where we bring our prayers of praises to give thanks to God, and also we bring our prayers of concerns and burdens together as a body of Christ. We bring our prayers and burdens together and lift them up to the throne of grace of God. God has promised that he will answer our prayers according to his will at the right time. That is good for us. So let us bring our prayers to him. I'm so glad that we are able to see many of our dear ones back, especially Jean, after his double heart surgery, and Yolanda, welcome back. We have been praying for you. God is going to be there with you. And pray for the regular prayer items are listed at the back of the bullet in the box there. The prayer requests. Please remember these people and these items in our prayers. Thanks be to God for the progress of recovery that many of us are making, like Miss Jean McBrayer is here. Please pray for her also. And Grace Ains and Jan Basor, Adam, Rich, and Louis here also with us. So let us be thankful for their recovery that they are making the progress on. And remember Carol in our prayers, as she's kind of stable, right, Wayne?
She gets worse every week. It's not.
It's getting, yeah, that's something that we expect.
Physically and mentally.
Yeah, that's the part
she's
of that.
She's wheelchair bound. She can't stand up anymore.
Oh, really? Okay. Please keep her in our prayers, and the wonderful life that she had and the service that she did through this church is amazing, how many years before you and I came. So please remember her and the caregivers. They need a lot of patience to work with patients like that, that God will give them the grace. And I see a lot of good people there. When I went there, they're caring and compassionate. Pray for Wayne also, as he has to go there and take care of the many needs, and also he's by himself. So please give him a call and take him to lunch or breakfast or whatever. Please do that. Pray for Jerry Rains, Ronnie, Ricky, Sean and Amy Conway, Pam, Lisa's mom, Jennifer Berry, and others that we have been praying for their healing. Pray for other needs in their lives, family needs like Melissa. And the people of Venezuela, let us continue to pray for them. There's a lot of work that needs to be done there. Please pray for those people and the relief workers working there. Pray for our service workers, our military, police, fire, and many, many others who work behind the scenes to serve us. Let us remember them in our prayers and also their families. pray for our nation, our president, vice president, and leaders of the Congress, and many others that make decisions, that God will give them the wisdom from above, not to trust in their own wisdom, but to make decisions that will bring peace and unity to this country and also to the world. And remember the world leaders in our prayers. When they make decisions, they will have the fear of God in their hearts to bring peace to this world. Pray for our church, and thank be to God for the faithful service of this church in this community, and let us continue to do the work that He has given us faithfully to serve the people who are in this community. Also pray for all the churches, the pastors, leaders, and missionaries who have gone out into various parts of the world. Let us also remember them, especially the ones who are persecuted in many parts of the world, that God will give them the strength and the power of the Spirit to go through their situations. Those are the requests that I have to make. If I missed anything, or anybody have anything to add? If not, we'll go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I will close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. We read in scripture 1 John chapter 5. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He will hear us, we know that we will have what we asked of Him. Faithful and merciful God, we thank You for the gift and the privilege of being Your children, that we can come to You and call You Father. We thank You for the many blessings that You give us, Lord. Thank You for the gift of life that You have given us in this world to live, to be a blessing here, O God. Thank You for the good health and strength You have given us in our bodies, that we can get around and do things that we need to do. Thank You for bringing us here today to gather in Your name and worship together, O God. Above all, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came, lived among us, suffered and died, and rose from the dead so that we can have eternal life and eternity with You. We thank You again for Your presence in our midst and the opportunity that You have given us to be here in Your service. We come before You with our brokenness also. Many of us need healing in our bodies, and we have been praying. And thank You for the healing that You have given to many of our dear ones, and especially Jean Barrington and Yolanda. Jean McBrayer and Lou and many others have gone through, and Adam, Rich, Grace Saints, and Jan Basor, thank you for the continued progress that they are making. Bless them, Lord, with your grace as they progress, and recover them to normal health, O God. We also pray for our dear sick ones that we have been praying for, especially we remember Carol in our prayers, a difficult time that she's going through. We pray for your special hands to be upon her. Strengthen her in her faith, Lord, and give her the grace, and also the people who cares to be caring and compassionate and loving. We pray for Jerry Raines and Ronnie Ricky, Sean and Amy Conway, Pam, Jennifer Berry, and many others that we have been praying for. Bless them with your healing. Above all, we pray for peace for them and for their families. Pray for Melissa Pilcher also to guide her and her needs in their personal life. Pray especially and remember the people of Venezuela and the people who are working there at the relief work and all those who do various kinds of operations there. Be with them, O God. Comfort the people who are grieving and people who have been suffering with various needs in their life. We pray that you will provide them according to their needs, O God. Strengthen them during this time of trouble that they are going through as the whole world unites and support them. We thank you again for hearing our prayers, and we pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many, many others who serve us, making our lives comfortable. Bless them, O God, and bless their families, and give them all their needs. We especially pray for our teachers, our school bus drivers, and students who are preparing for the school year in the next couple of weeks. Bless them also as they get ready for a blessed new year. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions will be guided by God's wisdom, and they don't trust in human wisdom, and that they will make the right decisions to bring unity and peace to our nation and the world. We pray for the world leaders also, that when they make decisions that will bring peace to this world, oh God, and bring all parts to an end. We pray for our church. Thank you for the gift of your service and opportunity you have given us in this community to do your work. Bless us, Lord, as we work together, that we can do it faithfully. Pray for the Hispanic church also. Bless them also, that we can be a light in this corner of the city, Lord. Pray for all the churches in coming and around, and the pastors, leaders of the church, and many, many people who are working in various different ways, especially missionaries and others who are working in various parts of the world. Strengthen them with your spirit, O God, that they will be faithful in the service and fruitful in their work that they are doing. Lord, we pray that you will be with us today. Lord, help us to worship you together and honor your name, especially by our singing, our prayers, and also the listening of the word will bring blessing to not only our lives, but also blessing to this world through our lives, O God. Bless us, Lord, as we worship together. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory, please.
Blessings you give us in this life. We pray that you bless this offertory to your use and us to thy service, and keep us ever mindful of the needs of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Psalm 16. It is Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup, and make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay, you will make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you gave us to be our life and spirit, that we can experience it every day so that we can be life and spirit to this world, O God. Open our hearts so that we can receive your word with humility and obedience, and humble ourselves before your word, O God. Illumine our souls so that we can understand the meaning of the message we hear today. Bless us with your grace that we can practice what you command us to practice and be a blessing to this world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have been looking at the Psalms of Moses, Psalm 90 and Psalm 91, where Moses described God as his refuge, his shelter, and his dwelling place. Refuge is when we look for a place to stay, where we can call home. When we have to abandon our homes, the refugees, we know the refugees coming from various parts of the world into this country, because they cannot stay in their home for various reasons. When we find ourselves running for a place that we can call home, God is our refuge. And then we talked about his being our shelter. Moses calls him his shelter in the stormy blast of life, and also the heat that Moses experienced when he was in the desert for 40 years. Even though they have temporary shelters, they all will go away, but God ultimately is our shelter when the storms of life come and hit us. Then in Psalm 90 we talked about he is our dwelling place. Not only we find our refuge and become refugees in God, and also it's our shelter that shelters us from the storms of life, but he becomes our permanent home, our dwelling place, because he is our eternal God who we will be spending our time with him. So whatever we inherit in this world is not permanent. Our permanent inheritance is from God and God alone. And that's what David is talking. This Psalm 16 is David's psalm that we have read here today. It's a miktam of David, who wrote this psalm as a psalm of encouragement and comfort while he was running for his life because of King Saul was trying to kill him. So that's another story we'll talk about later, or we have talked before also. But he was at the fear of his life and running away from danger. Then he stopped for rest, and then he wrote this psalm. He's talking about God being his inheritance. most people, and I can say almost everybody likes inheritance, right? To receive something from the people who pass on free. That is, well, that's a good thing to have. When someone dies, there is an inheritance that they leave. Many people leave that. One person showed up at work with a sad face, and the coworkers asked him then why he was sad, and he said his uncle passed away. And they said they were very sorry and expressed their sympathy to him. And they were shocked when he said, you know, last year my other uncle passed away. He left a good chunk of money for me. But this one, nothing. So that's what people are looking for in this world, to inherit from us. It is a good thing to have inheritance, but at the same time, leaving something for somebody, is it worth the people who we leave? We don't know how they're going to do it, how they're going to spend it, all the hard work and the money that we, through our life, that we did, we pass on to somebody, hoping that they will use it well. But David knew and found out from his own life that any inheritance that he acquired in this world were all temporary and they will go away. And he calls his inheritance being God. God is the permanent inheritance that David can always count on. Instead of having what do we inherit, or what inheritance do we leave for others, we can take a different look at it and say what we have already received. When someone dies, the families gather to hear, to gather together and read the will and whatever they left last time, and sometimes there is great joy, sometimes it can be that pleasant. You know, brothers fight and sisters fight, and all of a sudden some relatives show up that they have never known before. So things like that can happen after the death and things of inheritance. Because inheritance matter. And when we look at those inheritances that we receive, Jesus illustrated one very interesting parable about the parable of the prodigal son. The father had two sons. The older one was an obedient son. He obeyed everything that the father told him, worked in the field, in the vineyard, and worked hard with the father. The younger son was not that hardworking, but so he decided, the younger son decided, to ask for his inheritance and then leave the home. What does that mean? Inheritance is something that you leave after your death, right?
Right.
So what does that younger son mean by that? He said, Dad, I would wish you were dead so that I can take the inheritance. That's what it indirectly means. And it showed in his actions. The father was not angry. He didn't get mad or anything. He gave him his portion. And the son left the home, and you know the whole story. But he thought the money and the wealth that he gotten from the father is going to satisfy him forever. Well, he had good friends and he had money, he had parties every day, and he enjoyed his life for a while. And you know, this thing called money will run out. It will run out one day.
Money run out, people run out.
Right. That's one of our medical insurance people will ask him. You run out your money or you run money out. Which way you want it. So we have all of these things that we plan for our inheritance, what we live in this world when we live. Without God, our inheritance is worthless. Instead of saying, God, give me my inheritance, like the younger son did to the father, David was saying, Lord, you are my inheritance. And that changes the whole perspective, everything. He said, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. When we, especially when you have property and you have several children, you divide them with property lines, right? And based on where you get the property, some people are not happy, some may be very happy, depending on where you get the property. Close to the street or in a more convenient place. And the boundary lines matter when you divide the property. But when it comes to God, David is saying that my boundary lines already have fallen in the right places. I don't have to worry about where I'm getting the land. Because I know God is my inheritance and my boundary lines are already placed by God for me and I can trust him. That's the best inheritance that we can get. It's a delightful inheritance that he was talking about. We like to boast about our properties and inheritance, right? I have so much land here and my grandfather left me 200 acres or something like that. You still have that? So those kind of things, we try to boast about those things. The Texas ranch guy, rancher who raises cattle, he met with a dairy farmer from Wisconsin. So they met together someplace and started talking about it. And the dairy farmer told the rancher that he operated a business with cows and cattle, and he had about 125 acres of farm. And he talked all things about his farm and the dairy business. And the Texas rancher, he looked at him and said, 125 acres is nothing. It's nothing for somebody like me. You see, when on my ranch, I can get on my truck at sunrise and I won't reach the fence line of my property until sunset. And then the dairy farmer looked at him and said, yeah, I used to have a truck like that. So the background of this psalm is telling us that it's not about how much we have inherited, how good are we going to enjoy our inheritance. Especially when David was fleeing from Saul, afraid of his life, he was writing this psalm. It's a very important thing to note. How many of us can do that? These words that he is saying, that his confidence reminded him that God is a good God, and when he becomes our inheritance, we don't have to be unsatisfied anytime. He also probably remembered when Joshua divided the land, the promised land, after they went into the promised land. They divided the captured land into the different tribes. And we read that in Numbers, book of Numbers. But when they divided all that into 12 tribes, some people were happy, like we said, some people were not happy. But there one tribe that didn't get anything. Can you believe that? The tribe of Levi. Because the Levi tribe is called to be priestly tribe. Those are the tribe that the priests come from. The shepherds, the ministers, the priests of the church. So God told them, you don't get any land. Everybody else will get land. Because God is your inheritance. Probably David thought about that. He wrote it. Because God is the ultimate inheritance. And you would think that the pastors and the priests should get better inheritance, don't you think? As pastor, I would think. A pastor and a bus driver, I told this story before, right? The church bus driver and the pastor went to heaven after they died. Both were standing in line and the angels were calling their names and giving them assigned mansions. And the bus driver went first and they were all in line and the angel said, welcome, you are the church bus driver, right? Well, I'm glad that you did a good job and I'm going to give you assigned that big mansion on that hilltop over there. So the pastor was standing in line and he was looking. If my church bus driver can get a mansion like that, you know, as a pastor, I've been preaching years. And, you know, that's what pastors always think about. Get a better place in heaven. I don't think it works like that. Anyway, if the pastor, the driver gets a house like that, I must be in line for a big castle. That's what he thought. And then the angel called his name and said, oh, you are Reverend so-and-so. Yes, yeah, you did a good job preaching. And you are going to get that little basement under that mansion over there. And the pastor was really shocked. I mean, this is in heaven, so it's like a made-up story. It's nothing. And he said, well, still I don't understand it. I have worked all my life for your kingdom and preached and prayed for people and did all the work. And the driver gets that and I get this. And then the angel said, well, it seems that when you preached, people slept. And when the bus driver drove, people prayed. So whenever we measure our acres, our inheritance in acres, always remember it's not the number of acres that matter. That, like the tribe of Levi, they considered as priestly kingdom, priestly tribe, and they measured God's presence and God's service as superior to any inheritance that they can get. And that's what God wanted them to be. And they didn't complain. So David is now taking that same view in his life, and he's saying that my boundary lines have already fallen, and God is my boundary line, and he has already set that place for me. Sometimes God does not give us everything that we may desire or we ask for, because he wants us to give us something better if we wait. Overall, what do we want better than himself? We want God's presence more than anything else. You cannot buy God's presence and peace when we go through times of sorrow and grief. You cannot buy that with money. You cannot buy relationship with money. Sometimes you think you can, but when the money is gone, the relationship is gone. So we come to the place where honestly we can say, Lord, I have you. I already possess everything that I need, and that truly matters. And I don't need anything else other than you. That's why Paul considered himself that everything is a loss for me. And I consider everything in my life as a loss because of the knowledge of Jesus Christ that I gained in my life. That's what Paul said. He knew Jesus Christ in his life is the biggest inheritance that he can get. And he counted everything else as loss. Peter did the same thing. Peter left his fishing business, and Matthew his profitable tax business, and Paul left his position and influence to serve the kingdom of God. And one missionary said like this, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So give what you cannot keep and gain what you cannot lose. This is a psalm that Peter quoted on the Pentecost day. In Psalm 16, we read that in Acts 2. So this is a very significant psalm that for the Jewish people and the Christians, because this was quoted over and over in the New Testaments. But because Christ lives, our inheritance is secure. That's what Peter says when he said it in 1 Peter, my inheritance is kept in heaven for sure. So when we have inheritance piled up in this world, what happens when we die? We leave our inheritance. But if we have secured our place in heaven, what do we get when we leave? We are going to our inheritance. We don't have to worry about whatever we leave. Amen. Yeah. Earthly inheritance will disappear. Stock markets will rise and fall. Our homes can be destroyed anytime. Our possessions wear out and health declines. Even our relationships eventually will end one day. But God remains forever. God is our possession, our greatest inheritance. Many Christians, we sometimes don't realize that how much we have inherited because of God's presence in our lives. We have not fully discovered how much God has given us because of His Son Jesus Christ. He gave Himself for us. Many people define our success by asking, what do I want? But as believers, we can ask the question ourselves, not what do I own, but who do I own? I own my God, and He is mine. And God is mine. God says, I am His. That's the greatest inheritance. So don't worry about this inheritance world. And just like David, to find our inheritance ultimately in God. One of the things that we spend years planning of what we have left behind, in Proverbs it says that it's a good thing to leave inheritance in this world for our children. It's a good thing. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children and their children. In Proverbs 13 we read that. But perhaps there is another question that we should also ask, that will any part of that God has given me will continue God's work after I am gone? Every one of us is benefited by God's blessings in this world, especially our church. People who have donated in the past, a land that we don't know, we didn't own, a building that somebody has built here. We are worshiping here together. The pews we sit on, the music, the piano, the ministry that we have, many, many things that we enjoy in this world are left by somebody else. None of these appeared by accident. Someone somewhere loved God enough to leave these kind of things so that we can worship, continue worshiping. There is an old saying that says, when old men plant trees, they know that they cannot sit under that shade. If I'm 80 years old and I'm planting a tree, probably I won't sit in that shade when that tree is grown. But they know that. That's how Christians are. We plant trees in this world so when we are gone, generations will come and sit and enjoy the shade. So much of what we enjoy today exists because of faithful people who planted trees and made investments for us. Jesus said, do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and pest will destroy, and thieves will break in one day, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven. So he was reminding everybody that earthly possessions are temporary, while heavenly investment will last forever. I don't know if I've told you the story about a book by name Acres of Diamonds by Reverend Dr. Russell Conwell. He talks about his ministry in Philadelphia, the Temple Baptist Church, how that was formed. When he was a young minister, he had a church that he to serve in Philadelphia. And one day he was walking through the parking lot. There was a little girl standing there in the parking lot, very sad, and he asked her what was wrong with her. She said, I went around to find a Sunday school here and they told me there's no place, it's all full. So we have to register for Sunday school. And the pastor was very upset. You don't refuse people from going to Sunday school. So she took that girl to the Sunday school, and the little girl was very happy and found a place in one of the Sunday school classes. And she was very happy, and she became very connected to that pastor. She attended the church. None of the family members came, but they were living in a nearby apartment. And the child was so touched that she went home that night thinking about how to find more place for people like me to come and attend Sunday school here. And that stirred in her something, and nobody knew that. And a couple of years later, that girl died. And the pastor was called in by the family because they didn't have any other church to go. They knew that the girl attended this church. The pastor went there and made all the arrangements, and the parents gave him a little note that little girl left in her school bag or somewhere with a little purse of money. And the pastor looked at it, and he looked at the purse of money, and there were 57 cents in that little purse. And there was a little note in that purse that this said, "This is to help build the little church bigger, so more children can come to Sunday school." So apparently he was saving money for the church to build a better, a more Sunday school rooms. And the pastor was very touched by this. And he presented this note and this little purse in his sermon next Sunday to the church. And he was in tears when he read this note. And he was calling the church to get into action. And one of the things that happened was there was a land that they were looking at for some time to build a bigger church, but they could not afford to get it. And he said that in the church. They found several places, but they could not afford to buy that land and build the church there. But apparently there was a realtor who was in the church that Sunday sitting there. And he knew that one of the lands that they looked at was being sold by him. And somehow the Spirit stirred in his heart through this message. And after the service, he went to the pastor and told him that we will give you the land. And that was a big surprise. And you know the price that they put in the title was 57 cents. So he gave the land for 57 cents. This came in the newspaper story the next week. What happened? And you know what happens after that. When it comes to the newspaper, people started flooding money in. In about 3 weeks, they got $250,000.
Wow.
At that time, this was in the 1930s. We are talking about $250,000. So, I mean, that's how, you know, if you go to Philadelphia now, go to Temple Baptist Church, where thousands of people attend. And also the Temple University that you probably heard that. My wife attended that university when she lived in Philadelphia, where thousands and thousands of people are graduating every year from Temple University. And also the Good Samaritan Hospital in Philadelphia was established by this church, all because of a little girl who thought of 57 cents made a difference. And there's a big Sunday school room there now for the whole city can gather there. About 2,000 children can attend Sunday school there now. If you go by Philadelphia, take a look at that campus. We have gone there several times. Huge, huge campus. It's all because of a little girl's commitment of God's calling to give. So in one of the rooms, if you go there in the Sunday school rooms, you will see the little girl's picture. And also the Pastor Cornwell also next to her. And the Book of Acres, Diamonds of Acres, that's Acres of Diamonds, that's the book that he wrote describing this story about this girl. It's also displayed there. It's a beautiful sign to see. Every generation of Christians face the same decisions. You and I face the same decision. Every gift given to God's kingdom is a seed that we sow. Some seeds become missionaries, and some become churches. Some become Bibles translated into new languages. Some become children hearing about Jesus for the very first time. So I was talking to somebody recently about estate planning. She was by herself. She was trying to leave money for certain things. And she has some money for her niece and nephews and children, and some of them for a friend. Then I told her, I think there is something missing here. If you don't mind, let me tell you. How much money have you set for the church? Oh, that's true. How many years have you attended that church? All my life. But you forget that sometimes. It's about what you leave for the next generation that matters. Our inheritance that we leave for our children is for our next generation, but it may not pass on the first generation. If they are good, sometimes they pass on to their children's children. I'm not asking anybody to go and rewrite your will. But that's a personal decision between me and God. But I do invite each of us to pray this simple prayer. Lord, everything I have belongs to you. And you have me as my inheritance. I don't care about anything else that I live here. And I want other people to inherit you as well, just as I inherited you in your kingdom. His kingdom is in our estate planning. One of the items that we have to do in our estate planning when it comes to that, that will last for generations, like a tree planted, God's kingdom. And David discovered that his greatest inheritance was God, not that what he could leave behind, but that God would never leave him behind. That is our promise that from God, and he's a faithful God who never breaks promises. When God is our inheritance, everything else becomes a gift entrusted to us for a little while to enjoy. Remember that. May the good Lord bless us these words as we go from this place to be his faithful stewards of what God has given us inheritance. Amen. Closing hymn is 368 in the Blue Book. My hope is built on nothing less. If you are able, please stand. It's almost 3 hours.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, for other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is found and his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, may I then in him be found, rest in his righteousness alone, far less to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
People of God, only the rock of Christ will stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Every earthly inheritance will wear out one day. Even our relations will die. But if we have God as our inheritance, we have a good boundary line set for us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.